So in a week from now, we are going to be standing on Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the beautiful year. And with regards to Rosh Hashanah, so we have a mitzvah. Torah says, what are we supposed to do on Rosh Hashanah?
Blow shofar.
Blow shofar. Okay, why do we blow shofar? Why do we blow the shofar? Because the Torah said blow the shofar. Very good. That's what the Gemara says. Why do you blow on Rosh Hashanah? Because God said so. So what are we doing when we blow shofar? But is there any meaning to this mitzvah? They told me that Mr. Netanyahu visited Mexico today. And when he got off the plane, there were trumpets blowing. That's what they told me. I wasn't there. And it's a common thing that when nobles show up to some place, they want to show honor, so they don't just play the violin as he comes off his plane. But we all know when you want to show honor, there's a trumpet blowing. They don't do it on a violin. It's on a trumpet. There's something regal about the voice instruments. And on one level, Rav Sadia Gaon writes, when we blow shofar, there's an element of declaration. God is king. Now that declaration is very important. The world was created, and perhaps the major task of man is to actually acknowledge that God is king. So when man behaves one way, he's ignoring the fact that God is king. And when man behaves the way he should, so he's acknowledging the fact that God is king. And then comes Rosh Hashanah, and Hashem is going to decide what's going to happen to us this year. And we come to the judgment day and we say, Ribon Shel Olam, we're going to make a declaration. You're the king. You're the boss. Why is that important? So in our tefillah, in our musaf, we break it down to Malchuyot, Zichronot, Shofarot. Okay, Malchuyot. The mention of the fact that Hashem is Melech, that Hashem is King. Zichronot, the memories of what's been happening in the world. And Shofarot, the blowing of Shofar, which alludes to the ultimate goal of the world, the ultimate Shofar of the Mashiach. So we speak about the kingship, the actions, and the direction, right? Hashem is King. There are our actions, and there's the direction the world's going. Now, when we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, we're saying, Hashem, I have freedom of choice to a degree. But there is a direction where everything's going. The world is not a free-for-all. Again, why is this so important today? So, let's revisit a story. Once upon a time, there was a beautiful couple. They were married, happily married. And their anniversary was coming up. So the guy goes to his buddies and he says, tell me guys, how important is it to celebrate our anniversary? So Yosef tells him, buddy, you invest everything in that anniversary. You show her you cherish her. You show her how important your marriage is. You show her how great your relationship is. So the guy says back, you know, Yosef, your neighbor here is also Yosef. You're aware of that? Oh, okay. It's good you sit together. This I can look in the same direction. It's easy. So the guy says, I don't understand the point. All year long I try to treat her nicely. And celebrating today doesn't change that. And all year long there are certain mistakes I make in our relationship. And our celebrating this day doesn't change that either. We both know I've made mistakes. I will make mistakes. We both know I'm a nice husband, and I'm going to continue being a nice husband. Why do we have to celebrate the anniversary? No, what do you answer him, gentlemen? Why is it important to celebrate an anniversary?
Because it's important to her.
Oh, okay. Buddy, she cares. Just do what makes her happy. That's one answer. It's true. But there's more. You guys have another answer?
It revitalizes the relationship.
Revitalizes the relationship. I love that, Menachem. What beautiful English. Yes, it revitalizes the relationship. Help me, guys. Give me some more.
Maybe to remember that you, once upon a time, you were not married.
Oh, we arouse within ourselves an appreciation for the relationship. We don't just take it for granted. What else can you guys tell me? There's another key point which I want us to touch on. Let's ask a different question, okay?
It demonstrates the importance to everybody else in the world.
That's not so important. They don't need to know. We need to know. But I want to touch on a different question. You're dating the girl of your dreams, and then you decide you're going to marry her. So are you going to make a big deal of the engagement? Yes. Why? And then do you make a big deal of the wedding? Yes. Why? Is it just because it's a turning point? Until now we weren't together, and now we are together? Or is there an element that the celebration is a good start? That when we celebrate a beginning, we're off to a good start by celebrating the beginning. And sometimes being off to a good start is also something we can tap into again. When we can have a good positive beginning, 7 days of Sheva Brachos, so we lay a foundation that we can tap into again. It gives us something. It gives us a source of strength for the future. What we're doing on Rosh Hashanah is we're...
Could I ask you a favor?
Why now?
Because the day that just ended, the Shkia, is my father's yard site.
Oh.
And I finished the Masechta.
Oh.
And I need a minion for about 5 minutes to say a kaddish.
That's great. You have a lot of people doing nothing outside in the coffee room, walking around the halls.
No problem.
These people are learning Torah.
So
say the Gemara. You're invited. Thank you. But you, honestly, you have over 10 people walking around the hallways.
Good.
I'm saying you.
Yeshakach.
Rosh Hashanah, we're stopping and we're saying this relationship has meaning. And we're also, when you take Rosh Hashanah and you stop and say, okay, Hashem, you're king. So you can ask yourself, wait, but yesterday I didn't do this. You're the husband that shows up with breakfast in bed for your wife. You're the husband that's going to get her everything she asked for on the day of the anniversary. And then she says, that's so nice of you that you cleaned the toilets today and you made me breakfast today and you remembered how I like my coffee and you swept up the house and you did everything I asked you for. That's great, but did you do it yesterday and are you going to do it tomorrow? So what do you say? Stop being such a ninny. I'm trying to be good one day a year, okay? I really would want to do it every year, but I don't always succeed in doing it. But this is the real relationship. The truth is, I want to. So on Rosh Hashanah, a person can be bogged down with the thought, what was I doing all year? What am I going to be doing next year? Or a person can say, wait, let's hit the reset button. This is a real moment here. This is the anniversary of man. Man was created on Rosh Hashanah. And now man is hitting his anniversary. So man stops on the anniversary of his relationship with God, the creation of man. And man says, Ribbono Shel Olam, you are king. The whole year I sometimes ignore that. I sometimes forget that. I sometimes trample on that. I'm not the perfect human being. That's true. And I'm well aware of the fact that this coming year, I'm also not going to be the perfect human being. But that's not the point. Right now I'm going to stop what I'm doing. And I'm going to say, on this anniversary, I want to, let's use that beautiful word Menachem used before, revitalize our relationship. Very good. That's true. That's true. That's what we're doing in Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah is a declaration of Malchuyos, Ribon Shom, you're the king. The essence of Rosh Hashanah is Hashem is king. We do that where we're also discussing Zichronos, what's happened, Shofros, blowing of the shofar. But the essence of what we're declaring, Hashem, you're the king. Now, why is that so important? Well, we discussed one aspect of it. But let's touch on a few other aspects of it. So the Talmud tells us that we blow the shofar and it confuses the Satan. It confuses the Satan. So we could learn this like we did in first and second grade. that Mr. Satan, he hears that we blow the shofar and he gets all nervous, he gets all uptight. He says, holy moly, the Jews are blowing that horn. Maybe the Messiah is coming. I'm in trouble. He runs away. Okay, that's good for a first grader. It's good for a second grader. But there's an interpretation that's more for our age. Satan is not necessarily this angel with horns who's going to, oh boy, I got to worry. It's not the cartoon Satan standing there with a pitchfork, yes? It's not the devil you see in the cartoons. Satan is the part of the natural human weakness. When we blow shofar, it's a tool. We have the mitzvah of blowing shofar. It's biblical. Who said that when we started? Why do we blow shofar? Levi said, God said so, period. Good answer. When the Gemara begins the discussion, the Gemara says, why do we blow shofar? And the Gemara says, God said so. Right? That's the Gemara's answer. Why are you asking, why do we blow shofar? And yet the Gemara then says, but still, there's something in this message that you blow and you blow again and you blow again. You really did your job, but you're blowing again. Why are you blowing again? So the Gemara says, it confuses the Satan. So one interpretation here is that it helps us. We look at the moments of weakness and they look confused. Why would I even do that? Why would I be interested in it? You're in the middle of Rosh Hashanah and you're saying, Hashem, you're king. And then you look back at the time you looked at things you regret, you looked at on the internet and you say, why would I do that? That's not me. Now, let's ask a very cynical question. Is there a chance you're going to do it again next year? We hope not. We'd like to think not, but it's possible. We haven't perfected the tshuva to the point where we could say it's never happening again. Done deal, I'm finished. We'd like to get there, we should get there, but maybe we're not yet there. Not yet, right? Not there. Not yet there. We'll get there. So then what am I doing on Rosh Hashanah? It's a game? It's not a game. On Rosh Hashanah I'm saying, when I'm not faced with the temptations, when I'm focused on the real facts are, Hashem, you're the king, and I declare that willingly and happily. And I don't have claims. So the next line in the Gemara is that kol shana sherasha b'tchilata, any year that the Jewish people begin the year impoverished, so then it mitasheret b'sofa, in the end it'll be a wealthy year. What does that mean? That means you could walk into Rosh Hashanah and say, Ribbon Shel Olam, I'm a Machon Meir student. Look at me. You know how many mitzvahs I've done this year? No. Excuse me. Do we really have claims? We walk into Rosh Hashanah and we say, Ribbon Shalom, I need your help. You're the boss. We blow the shofar. What happened with that shofar? The shofar is the horn of the ram. It represents many things. It represents the Akedah, which happened on Rosh Hashanah. But on Rosh Hashanah, this ram was running to do a mitzvah. The ram was running to be sacrificed. And then its horns got caught in the bush. Why did it get caught in the bush? So our tradition is that Satan came along and said, don't go do that mitzvah. We run to do mitzvah, and then we get stuck along the way. We don't exactly always do the things we set out to do. Right? You end the day and you ask yourself, how many mitzvahs was I planning on doing today? How many did I end up doing today? I wanted to do X, and I did X minus Y. So we blow the shofar. We say, no. This is the tool I use for the mitzvah. Ribbon Shalom, I want to. I know you're the king. And I want to touch on one more point. Some of you are new to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And there's a beautiful innocence and excitement with which you enter Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Grab it. It's wonderful. It should be there. We all experience those years, hopefully we experience those years where Rosh Hashanah is an amazing spiritual experience, and there's a certain innocence in that experience. And then the years pass, and at some point you start experiencing Rosh Hashanah a little bit differently. Suddenly you're experiencing Rosh Hashanah as a man who's come home from your job, as a person who's having a hard time juggling your family relationships, your family responsibilities, with the spirit of the day. You want to prepare yourself for Rosh Hashanah. You can barely keep your eyes open over the machzor. You're coming into Rosh Hashanah and you know the importance of the day, but you also know what life has taken out of you this whole year. And there can be this feeling that the real Rosh Hashanah was what I did back then. And there's no question that the Rosh Hashanah you experience in yeshiva, you will never have a Rosh Hashanah like the yeshiva Rosh Hashanah. Take full advantage of it. And just like Rosh Hashanah gives us strength for the whole year, the Rosh Hashanah in yeshiva will give you something to strive for your whole life. But you should know that Rosh Hashanah is about the life of the living. In yeshiva, you have the advantage, you enter a bubble. And every guy goes through this, hopefully. When children go to high school and then they go to yeshiva, they have an exceptional bubble. They have the ability to focus on developing their spiritual life, and it's an amazing experience. You guys should take full advantage of your time in yeshiva. Most children have this. You ask my kids, already 2 weeks ago, I was shocked to see it. My 2.5-year-old is showing me, Abba, this is a shofar. So think about it. From 2.5 till 22, 25, 28, he's experiencing a very powerful Rosh Hashanah. Meaning there's the concepts, as much as a 2.5-year-old can understand, Rosh Hashanah is a big deal. At 3.5, at 4.5, 5.5, by the time they're 7 and 8 and 9, Rosh Hashanah is a really big deal. When they're 12 and 14, so they're experiencing an amazing Rosh Hashanah. You guys are starting out now. Grab it. Experience it. But I'm going to tell you something now I want you to take with you for those years when you won't be in yeshiva, when you might be in the middle of a college degree, when you might be in the middle of juggling a new marriage, an old marriage, family responsibilities, financial responsibilities, and then you come into Rosh Hashanah. So there will be a time where you will be out of this bubble called yeshiva. A friend of mine, Rabbi Geffen, pointed the following point out to me, and I think it's a very, very, very important point. He said, throughout his years in yeshiva, he wondered, it says in the halacha that the man who should be the chazan on Rosh Hashanah should be 30 years old, should be married and have a family, should have the responsibilities and the worries of a man who has to deal with life. And he always thought to himself, why does the halacha say that? The halacha should say, take an 18-year-old who's been in yeshiva, who's led a chaste life, he's pure, he's focused, he's spending his whole day learning Torah, he should be your chazan. You see that the halacha wanted someone who's dealing with life. Rosh Hashanah is about life. Rosh Hashanah is about the hopes of the future, of what this year will bring. And so the chazan, the one who represents the people on Rosh Hashanah, should be someone who's dealing with life. When we come into Rosh Hashanah and we've had all the challenges that a healthy life brings upon us, that's what Rosh Hashanah should look like. It's beautiful what you guys can experience now. It'll give you the spiritual strength to build beautiful Rosh Hashanah in the future, things to aspire to. But remember, Rosh Hashanah is meant for the land of the living. Rosh Hashanah is meant for real life, for the challenges of real life, for those years where you're not in yeshiva. The years of yeshiva are a special experience. And again, grab them. They don't come back. For decades, you won't have this opportunity again. Bezrat Hashem, you'll have a healthy life with responsibilities, and you won't have this opportunity. Grab the opportunity. But remember that the healthy life is also a part of it. And I want to end with a few powerful thoughts about Rosh Hashanah. Number one, Rav Chaim of Volozhin said the following thought about Rosh Hashanah. He said, you want to enter Rosh Hashanah, you have to absolve every chazakah. In halacha, and in conceptually, we have a term called chazakah. Chazakah means, I can assume if something was, then it continues to be. I can assume if I left the house and my family was alive, I can assume that, Bezrat Hashem, they're still alive. You can assume that if you left things a certain way, they remained that way. How do you know that the food you left in your fridge is still kosher? Maybe someone switched it for non-kosher food. You assume you left it this way. It remained that way. You have no reason to assume something changed, right? So we don't say you have to keep an eye on everything all the time. On the contrary, we say our assumption is that things didn't change. Things remained the same. Says the Rav Chaim of Volozhin, not on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, you don't assume anything's going to stay the same. In other words, if we walk into Rosh Hashanah and we say, I've been healthy all year, I assume I'll be healthy next year. I've had a family. I assume I'll have a family next year. I've had a good livelihood. I've made ends meet. I assume next year I'll have that. My parents are healthy. I assume next year they'll be healthy. You could walk into Rosh Hashanah and assume all the blessings I've had until now, of course I'm going to have them. Wrong, says Rav Chaim of Elazhin. You had them until now? That means until now it was decided you should have them. Comes Rosh Hashanah, there's a new question. Should you have the shirt on your back? Should you have the health? Should you have the capacity to see? Should you have the capacity to walk? Should you have a family? Should you have your health? Should you have your wealth? Every aspect of life is being decided upon on Rosh Hashanah. If we want to appreciate the greatness of Rosh Hashanah, we have to remind ourselves, nothing's a given. Just because you had a job yesterday, you don't know what tomorrow will bring. We see stories all around us. A very good friend of mine sent his son and daughter to the park last week. And the girl, 7 years old, let go of her big brother's hand and ran into the street. And there was a car parked there. And she couldn't see that right after the car, there was another car speeding. And one split second, the girl was hit by the car. I happened to come by a second after she was hit. I didn't see the girl hit. I saw her lying on the ground. I was sure she was dead. The way she lay limp, I was sure it was over. Okay, I came to the scene seeing a child 7 years old lying motionless. I was sure it was over. Now, they have a child who has a broken collarbone. They're not sure what's going on with her spine. She's up and about with a brace that holds on to her neck and everything in place because they're really not sure what's going on in there. They know there's bleeding in there. They don't know how and if it's going to heal, Bezat Hashem. Everything will work out right. In a split second, their lives are changed. I saw my friend after the accident, him and his wife. I saw them 3 days later. They aged by 20 years. This guy who's younger than me, he and his wife aged by 20 years in 3 days. Boom. Their whole life changed. In life, we have no guarantees. No one promised us what tomorrow will bring. People sometimes take one step off the sidewalk on the wrong moment. A car hits them and their whole life changes. Suddenly they're walking with a walker. Suddenly they're not running to catch buses. Suddenly it's questionable whether they could hold on to a job. Life changes in a flash. And on Rosh Hashanah it's decided what part of life are we going to merit next year. We cannot take anything for granted because nothing's been promised us. On Rosh Hashanah, it's a restart. So we enter Rosh Hashanah, going back to the point we began with, and we say, Ribon Shel Olam, we want to revitalize our relationship. There's meaning, and we appreciate the fact that you're king of the world. We're making that declaration. We're doing your mitzvot. Our focus on Rosh Hashanah isn't, could you give me, Ribon Shel Olam, I have all these needs. That's not the focus. You want to talk about that today, talk about that tomorrow, prepare yourself. On Rosh Hashanah, we're saying it's not about me. On Rosh Hashanah, I come in and I say, I don't really have room to make claims. I have room to say, thank you for what you've given me. I know you're on top of everything. You're the king. That's a declaration. That's a starting point of everything we do. All of Torah is based on that. But that's a declaration of Rosh Hashanah. Hashem, you're the king. Malchuyot zichonot shafarot, as we discussed. Be'ezrat Hashem, we have the good fortune of walking into Rosh Hashanah knowing that the judge is on our side. You ever go to a court case? You know what it means to walk into a court case and see the judge is on your side? I once had a day camp. Oh, yes. He's a lawyer, yeah. I once ran a day camp and the car, I used to buy a car at a junkyard and sell it every summer. I'd buy a car, an old used taxi. I'd drive it for those 2 months I ran the day camp, and at the end of the summer, I'd sell the car. Sometimes I'd actually make a profit. So one time, I'm driving the kids, and I see flashing lights behind me. A policeman pulls me over. He starts talking to me. He says, I see the kids are seatbelted. I said, yeah. He said, I see your seatbelt. I said, yeah. He says, I see you're not drunk. I said, right. So he says, then why are you driving like that? Oh, you should have seen the kids laughing at me. I said, what do you mean? What was I doing wrong? So he says to me, you keep shifting in your lane. I said, I don't know. I was holding the steering wheel straight. So he looks at my tires and he says, your tires are bald. Your tires, you're holding the steering wheel straight, but the way your tires are, they're so worn out that you're shifting in your lane. I'm giving you a ticket for having bald tires. If you can bring the judge a receipt that you changed your tires, tell him I said he should forgo your ticket. And he gives me a ticket for $150, $180. Okay, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? I've had this day camp that made thousands of dollars, and I'm going to have to pay a fine of $100 and something. Not so terrible. I come to court. I have my receipt. I already sold the car to the junkyard. I didn't switch the tires. You don't invest in such a car. And I'm waiting. And the guy before me in line, it's his case. And the judge asks him, why were you speeding? And the guy goes, my girlfriend called and she was yelling at the top of her lungs. You know under what pressure I was? So the judge looks at him and says, son, you have to think of something to say. Your girlfriend yelling, I can't take any points off for your girlfriend yelling. Think of something to tell me that I could take off some points. Think for a minute. I want you to tell me something else, because of the speed you were going, you're going to get a heck of a lot of points on your license, and it's going to be a very big fine. But if you could tell me something about why I shouldn't be giving you those points, then I can knock off some points. I want you to think of something to say. So I stood there and I said, wow, isn't that a nice judge? He's telling him, "You, what you're telling me is not a good reason, but I want you to think of something, just make some kind of claim." Then came my turn, right? How nervous are you going to be? What's the worst thing that'll happen? You're going to pay a fine of $180. What's the worst thing that'll happen? And you're standing before a very, very nice judge. A judge who tells the guy, make a claim. Just say something so I could knock off some points. I was shaking. I could barely talk. It shocked me how I was shaking. Why am I so scared? Because you're standing. There's this judge sitting on this big chair. You're standing down there. There's this feeling of, bam, he's got his gavel and he's got his long robe. And it's scary. Why is it scary? I stood there and I was so upset with myself. I said, I can't remember any Rosh Hashanah that I shook like this walking into shul. But walking into shul is much more meaningful. It's about whether we're going to live or die. It's about what type of year we're going to have. Here it's a measly $180. Big deal. That's not all of life. All of life is Rosh Hashanah. And in the end, the judge, when I gave him the receipt that I sold the car, he said, okay, just pay a processing fee and goodbye. The game was over, but the lesson wasn't over. We walk into Rosh Hashanah, the judge is saying, I'm on your side. I want you to have a good year. And what we're saying is, you're the king. We're going to start off the year on the right foot. We're showing up to the anniversary and we're saying, I'm celebrating this anniversary. We're going to have an excellent starting point to this year. I know we're going to have ups and downs this year, but we're celebrating the starting point. Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of humanity. Man was created on this day, and we start the day on the right foot. The right foot for all of life is the realization that Hashem is the King. Tov.